This is your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Our topic is how to clean up a criminal record. So if you've had a conviction, whether it's a felony or a misdemeanor, and you'd like to find out what you might be able to do, that's what we're going to be talking about. My guest is someone who I've known for a number of years. Chris Morales has a very fine reputation as a criminal law specialist. He's certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization, and his office is in San Francisco. Chris and I don't think, Chris, you and I have ever had any cases opposite each other, have we?
I don't recall any.
I don't
Chuck.
Think so.
No.
You've been my guest on the radio program before, and that's why Chris and I are still friends, because we've never opposed each other in court.
Never had to pick a jury with
In any event, funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. So, Chris, let's just talk a little bit about this chronology. What if someone comes to you and says, "Gee, I want to try to clean up my record"? How do you deal with something like this?
Well, Chuck, I get these phone calls all the time, and I get a lot of referrals from immigration attorneys, and they're trying to help their client adjust their status, either from an undocumented person to a documented person, or somebody who is a permanent resident to citizenship, and their client may have picked up a DUI or some other criminal case.
Driving under the influence.
Yeah. Or petty theft or some other crime, and they send them to me to help clean up that record, so as they move forward in the immigration process, they have a better chance of adjusting their status. So client typically comes into my office and says, "Chris, well, you know, I had this conviction. I know it, you know, I went to court 20 years ago. It was in San Jose. and I think it was some sort of theft case."
In other words, the potential client is a little bit fuzzy on the details, it sounds like.
Exactly. That happens quite frequently. So what I've been doing lately, Chuck, is because typically they don't have any paperwork from the case. And just to make it easy on them and me, I have them get their rap sheet or their criminal conviction history from the Department of Justice. And these days it's pretty easy. You can go to a Live Scan, which is a commercial outfit that...
That's what it's called, Live Scan?
Yes, Live Scan. Mm-hmm. And they will, or you can go to a local sheriff's department. Each county has a sheriff's department where you can go and get your fingerprints taken, and they will, based on those fingerprints, will give you your rap sheet. In San Mateo County, it's at the Hall of Justice on the third floor, the sheriff's department.
What if I may ask you this? What if someone was convicted, for example, in some northern county but is now living in Southern California? Can they go to the sheriff's office in the Southern California County Sheriff's Office and say, "I'd like to try to get my rap sheet"? Is that possible?
It sure is.
Really?
So when somebody is arrested in California, whether it's in Butte County or in San Diego, and they're booked, which means their fingerprints are taken and their photo is taken, those fingerprints end up in a database with the Department of Justice in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And so if you go to LiveScan, which is a commercial outfit, or you go to the Sheriff's Department and give them your fingerprints, they will contact the Department of Justice and run your criminal history and give that to you. And that's very helpful, because it'll have the date of the conviction, the type of conviction, what your sentence is, all important, the case number. Mm-hmm. And that's the starting point for me when I start to help somebody clean up their record.
Are you finding with a great percentage of the potential clients who come to your office that they no longer have any of their paperwork with respect to their conviction?
I do find that. Some folks are very organized and they come with a whole folder, but sometimes what they have in their folder is not quite what I need. So, Chuck, sometimes I need not only the case number, but I need to order the complete file that's at the clerk's office. But even more than that, once I get the complete file, I need to order transcripts of proceedings, which means I have to know who the court reporter is at those proceedings, contact that court reporter in that county, order up the transcript typically of the plea and of the sentence. And then I'll have a fuller picture of of the conviction, and I can tell at that point tell the client what I can or can't do for them.
And this is something that the court reporters generally throughout California, they maintain this as a record, as a business record for themselves?
Well, that's a good question, Chuck. So I believe that the actual court reporter's notes probably belong to the Superior Court of
yes,
that county.
I would think so.
But it's been my experience that the court reporter sort of maintains their own records also, and sometimes mm-hmm. it's cheaper and faster mm-hmm. just to get hold of the court reporter and ask him or her, look, you know, my client, this is their name. They were in your courtroom on October 12th, 2001 mm-hmm. At 9 a.m. Could you please look for your records and type up that transcript? And they probably and they can do that for $20, $25.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Would you do this? The California Board of Legal Specialization has been a funder of my program now for at least 25 years or so. I've been doing this, for, believe it or not, for 32 years. Would you explain, you know, I in introducing you, I told everyone that you're a certified specialist in criminal law. What does that mean? What do you have to do? Are you a long-distance, really fast runner, or what do you do? Are you a good basketball player? What do you do?
Well, that's a great question, Chuck. And I'm so pleased that the State Bar has this designation.
I am too.
Because it's you know, it's really tough for the consumer when they're out there looking for an attorney to differentiate who really is on top of their game and who's a new attorney and who should they go to. And having this designation really gives a lot of excellent information to a consumer. Because to become a certified specialist, first of all, you have to pass an all-day test.
On top of having gone through the state bar. I think it's still 3 days now. I'm not absolutely sure, or 2.5. After going to law school and graduating from law school, you take the state bar. If you pass that, and then you start practicing law. So you're talking about another bar exam, are you not?
I am. This is yet another exam. It's 1 day. And it tests your ability just in and your knowledge in just one particular area of the law, family law, in my case, criminal law. And so I took and passed that test. But even apart from that, the state bar reaches out to judges that you appear in front of, mm-hmm. District attorneys, prosecutors that you have opposed in cases, and also fellow criminal defense attorneys. So they get feedback from those attorneys and judges as to, you know, how competent you are in court, mm-hmm. whether you know what mm-hmm. you're doing. And you also have a requirement to do even more MCLE or more...
MCLE, tell everyone what that means.
It's continuing education for attorneys.
Yeah, yeah.
So typically, if you're a practicing attorney, you have to do maybe an hour a month. If you're a certified specialist, you have to do much more than that. So it sort of forces you to stay on top of your game and to be especially proficient at what you're doing. And I find that that's certified specialists, whatever their specialty is, family law or immigration law, they are the best in their field.
I certainly support that without question. And for those of you who might be interested, the California Board of Legal Specialization has a number of free pamphlets. Also, you can find out who the 11 specialties that are certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. You can, both for the pamphlets as well as finding out who the certified specialists are, you can go to your website. I should say, go to your computer on the internet and go to the website at www.calbar.ca.gov. Go to the upper left corner of your screen and click on Legal Specialists, and that'll get you into the California Board of Legal Specialization, both for pamphlets as well by county of who the specialists in the 11 specialties are. So that's something I wanted you to know about. So, okay, you have what does it mean? Does it make any difference what you are going for, whether it's an expungement or whether it's some other kind of I don't know what you would call it in terms of trying to clean up a record. What do you strive for? What do you try to do? Find that the record will be destroyed, or what is it that you try to do for the client?
Well, what we try to do for the client is soften the conviction if we can, reduce the conviction.
From a felony to a misdemeanor?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Expunge the record, expunge the conviction, which softens the conviction.
What does that mean, expunge? What do you have to do to expunge?
So expungement is... So typically, if you suffer a conviction, you're placed on probation for 3 years, sometimes 5 years. Mm-hmm. If you complete the term of probation without any problems, which means normally you finish your jail time, you pay all the fines, and during the term of probation you don't pick up any new cases, don't have any further problems with the law, then you could go back to court and petition the judge to expunge your record, and it doesn't erase the conviction at all. But it softens the conviction. And typically it'll say on a rap sheet or your criminal conviction after the date of your conviction, there'll be another line underneath that that says that the judge allowed you to withdraw your guilty plea and then dismiss the case in the interest of justice. So the beauty of expungements is that when you are filling out applications for employment, mm-hmm. In the private sector, you can say honestly that you were never convicted.
Really?
That's
you can.
Right. That's the reason we do it.
And it's my understanding, certainly in California law, under California employment law, that employers cannot attempt to find out, to do research to determine, even though you say I have not been convicted, you as the potential employee, the employer is prohibited from trying to find out by way of a private detective or whatever. Do you know if that? I understand that's something new in the law, employment law. You don't seem to agree with that.
Well, the only thing that comes to mind, Chuck, is when I'm at the Hall of Justice here in San Francisco, in the clerk's office.
Yeah.
There are always four or five researchers there, and they are there every day, all day, and all that they do is research criminal backgrounds for people. And I am
assuming... Is that right?
Yep. I am assuming that they are hired by large companies.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and they are there all day. And so I am assuming somebody is doing a massive amount of research.
Incredible.
I would think it would be potential employers.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. I'm sorry, I cut you off at a point.
So Chuck, one point I want to bring up for expungements.
Please.
And indeed, for private sector jobs, you can say that you were never convicted once you have received an expungement. Mm-hmm. Now, that does not count for government jobs or state-issued licenses.
So if you
want to get an insurance broker's license or a real estate license, or you want to be an attorney and you fill out the state form, there, even though you have the expungement, you do have to tell them about the conviction.
You do.
But they will be very pleased that you went ahead and got the expungement.
Really?
And indeed, to get some state licenses, they have a requirement that if you're convicted of a misdemeanor, you do have to get an expungement before you get the license.
Really? That's very interesting. What if you've had a federal conviction? What is the problem there?
Well, that's
compared to at least California state law.
Well, my talk on federal convictions is going to be very short because there's not a whole lot you can do, unfortunately. It's very sad. But once you were convicted in federal court, there really are no vehicles to expunge or to reduce the conviction. Your only avenue for cleaning up your federal conviction is going to the president and getting a pardon if you can.
The president of the United States.
President of the United States.
That's nearly impossible.
It's pretty tough. It's pretty tough.
Wow.
So, yeah. There are many more vehicles to clean up your record for state convictions, and there are many more state convictions. So out of all the convictions in California, probably 90% are on the state side, 10% on the federal side.
Yeah. Let me take a moment and tell all of you something that I'd like you to know about. If you only get the half-hour program, which is the statewide version of the program that's recorded and sent to a number of stations in California, which air it next week, the entire live program, the entire hour of the program is available to you as a free podcast if you'd like to hear it at some point. It's www.klw.org/RSS, www.klw.org/RSS. And I want to tell you about something that I think is very important at this time. And that is on Wednesday, January 11th at 7 p.m., that's Pacific time, we'll be doing a special program on immigration laws and issues. And on that same evening from 7 to 8 p.m., we will have a special immigration law Call a Lawyer night off the air with immigration attorneys who will talk with people who have immigration questions and problems. And here you might want to jot down this number, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. So if you have immigration questions or problems, whether or not you hear the live program on Wednesday, January 11th, I invite you to call into our special immigration Call a Lawyer night at 1-800-525-9917 from 7 to 8 p.m., again, Pacific time. Chris, arrest records. Let's say someone was not convicted but was arrested for something. There is some record somewhere in a police department or wherever it may be. Is that of significance to someone who's trying to get a job?
It is. So once you are arrested and booked, when I say booked, that means you're taken to the county jail and your fingerprints are taken and your photo is taken, you are now in the database for the state of California and potentially for the FBI.
Yes.
And so it happens regularly that people are convicted or arrested and then there's no prosecution, or they are arrested and they're completely innocent. And so if that is true, you can petition to seal and destroy your arrest record.
Oh, really?
Yes, you can. Now, Chuck, it's not an easy assignment getting your arrest record sealed. You have to prove to the court, to the judge, that you are factually innocent.
How do you do that?
Well, you can do it through your own testimony, or you can do it through other witnesses. But you have to prove that you're factually innocent. And the fact that the district attorney declined to prosecute you is not enough. Not enough information to gain the sealing and destruction of your arrest record. You have to show that you're factually innocent in that the police made a complete mistake in arresting you.
That's probably very difficult, generally speaking.
It is very difficult.
I would think.
In my 25 years, I've had just three or four of those petitions granted and many of them denied.
Really?
So it's a tough call. But you certainly should attempt to do that if you fall within that small percentage of folks who are arrested and they're actually factually innocent.
That's very interesting. Because we are a live full-hour program, in the second half hour for those persons who are listening to the entire hour, I will then invite them in a few minutes, Chris, to call in and ask you some questions. But here's something, a question that was just brought into our room here where we're doing the program, and it's this, if you might have some comment on it. There's been a campaign to, quote, ban the box, end quotes, the checkoff box asking whether the job applicant has committed a crime, which has prevented many ex-felons from getting a job. Which cities have now banned the box? Do you know? Do you know anything about this?
I really don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how far that's going to go. If you are an employer, it's relevant whether your potential employee has suffered a conviction for theft or something along those lines.
If you have some job, I suppose, which is in a bank or something
handling
like that,
with
handling money, it would be very important. It's something with regard to the listener who talked to Martin, who helps me on the program, and Martin wrote this down and brought it in. We'll be covering that sometime this year in another employment law program and giving you an update on that. So hold on if you want. Otherwise, what I would suggest that you might do, whoever it is who called Martin and gave him this question, you might want to call your local lawyer referral service of the Bar Association and make an appointment to sit down with an employment lawyer who represents employees. That would be the thing that I would suggest you might want to do. And the thing about that is throughout California, for half an hour consultation, with minor exception, you pay something like $25 to $35. It's a great investment. It's not something, that money doesn't go to the lawyer. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep it going as a very fine public service. So that's what I would suggest there. Remaining in the few minutes that we have of the statewide version, what other things would you like to cover at this point, Chris, that we haven't even touched on?
So, Chuck, the one thing that I want the listeners to take away from this program is if they have been convicted of a felony, they should do some research or hire an attorney to determine whether that felony can be reduced to a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
So there's as you know, Chuck, as a former deputy DA, there are a whole slew of felonies that are reducible to misdemeanors.
Oh, yes.
And there's absolutely no reason to go through your life as a convicted felon when you can get it reduced to a misdemeanor. So that's very, very important. And so once you have determined that indeed the charge that you were convicted of can be charged as a misdemeanor, you go back to court and you file a 17B motion reducing your felony.
That's under the penal code.
Under the penal code, Penal Code 77, Section 17B, and get that felony reduced to a misdemeanor. It's retroactive. You can say you've never been convicted of a felony after that.
Yeah, yeah.
It restores many of your rights to vote, to have a gun, and plus you have lots of peace of mind. Now, there's a smaller number of cases that are misdemeanors that are reducible to infractions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also important, especially for immigrants, because when you are adjusting your status or trying to become a documented person or a citizen, the federal government looks poorly on any sort of conviction, whether it's a misdemeanor or felony. But if you have a misdemeanor conviction that's reducible to an infraction, then the federal government does not hold infractions against you.
Oh, that's okay. Interesting to know.
So infractions, Chuck, are...
Give us an example of perhaps of a kind of a misdemeanor that could be reduced to an infraction.
Can absolutely, you give... sure. Disturbing the peace.
Ah, okay.
Which is Penal Code Section 415. It can be charged as a misdemeanor and an infraction. And I have a client right now, Chuck, who came to me through his immigration attorney because he had two misdemeanor convictions. One was an infraction, and one was a driving with a suspended license in two different counties. We looked into both of those, and both of those misdemeanors are reducible to infractions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So once we reduce both of them to infractions, he will have no further problems with immigration and the federal government, because the federal government does not hold infractions against you.
That's wonderful. And that's very, very, very positive, because frankly, people make a mistake. I mean, this has happened. I've seen it happen even with judges from time to time. Make a mistake, might be driving, haven't had too much to drink, and pulled over by the local police. And so I think this is very positive in helping people, the person who, let's say, was convicted of a misdemeanor, helping that person to have a productive life and for his family, his or her family. But go ahead.
Yeah, it's very humbling. It's humiliating having a conviction if you have a felony on your record. So, again, check those felonies to make sure that they check to see if you can reduce it to a misdemeanor and get it done. We're starting the new year here, so let's start off right and clean up these records as much as you can.
In generally speaking, in someone and people, of course, everyone is very concerned about the cost that might be involved in hiring an attorney, et cetera. Can you give a range of costs, generally speaking, of let's say not the worst of felony conviction thing, but the average? Can you give people an idea of what they might be facing?
Sure.
Cost-wise in retaining an attorney and having the various costs involved of getting your rap sheet, because you have to, as you say, you have to get the file from the courthouse, from the clerk's office. What are we talking about? How much, generally speaking?
Generally speaking, Chuck, I think ballpark $1,000 to $2,500 for something like this. Much of this work can be done just through paperwork, not having to go to court,
uh-huh.
Whether it's an expungement or a reduction to a misdemeanor. Now, if you're ambitious, you can try to do it yourself. So
yes.
San Mateo County, They have forms where you can go there and fill them out and submit your petition for an expungement or a reduction yourself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They charge $60, which is really reasonable.
For the filing fee or what?
For the filing fee.
I see.
And you can attempt to get that done yourself. I would advise you to get some supporting documents like character mm-hmm. reference letters, your resume, certificates and diplomas. You know, attach that to the petition and to the motion so that a judge, you know, it's more likely the judge is going to grant that petition if they see that you've been maintaining employment and taking care of business.
Chris, I know you also, besides practicing in San Mateo County, but you also practice in San Francisco County, don't you?
I do.
Does San Francisco have this kind of a thing that is, let's say, consumer-friendly in terms of the forms, or is it not quite as friendly?
San Francisco Public Defender's Office, Jeff Adachi's office, has a clean slate program. It's mm-hmm. wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so there you can actually get an attorney to help you. And
With no charge?
With no charge, as far as I know.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. And so Jeff started this program, and they do a fabulous job. You can also, in other counties, approach the public defender's office, approach the probation department.
Yeah.
I know in San Mateo County, you can call the private defender's program, and they will help you.
Which is the equivalent of the public defender's office in San Francisco. It's called the private defender office.
Yes, yes. Yes. Now, if there's some urgency you want it done, you probably just want to go ahead and if you can, hire a good private attorney.
Yeah, I think that would be – I really think that would be the smart thing to do. You don't want to put all of your time into this and then find out that, gee, I didn't do it. Now I got to go back and really – get serious and retain an attorney. So that to me is, you got to be real careful, everyone. All right, it is the end of our statewide that is the half hour. Let me give you our toll-free number in case you'd like to call in with a question or comment or concern to my guest. It's 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. I encourage you to take advantage of the fact that my guest is a very experienced criminal defense attorney. He is a specialist in criminal law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, Christopher Morales. His office is in San Francisco. Chris is here not with the idea of trying to get clients, although it may have occurred to him. It may have occurred to him. But he's here as he's been here several times on my program. And this is a public service that we're performing here. So if you would like to pose your question, you can use a phony name if you like. You don't have to tell what your real name is by any means, and we only go by first names. The number is toll-free, 866-798-8255. And support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco, and now it has expanded into and covers Marin County. And for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services of the San Francisco Bar, here's the number you might want to jot down, 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call that number, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. Every county in California has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to get an experienced attorney to meet with you for a half an hour consultation. And as I said a little earlier, just a few minutes ago, with minor exception, the cost you will be faced with for the half an hour is $25 to $35. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service. which keeps the service going. It's a great public service. Additional funding for your legal rights is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. So again, for those of you who may have tuned in a little bit late, I want you to know who my guest is. By the way, my name is Chuck Finney. I've been doing this program for 32 years, believe it or not, funded by the State Bar of California all that period of time. A major funder now still is the California Board of Legal Specialization and also the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And my guest is Christopher Morales, a specialist in criminal law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. And I want to start with Dow. Dow, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yes, hi. Well, I'm calling. Actually, we have my daughter, not me. Well, about 7 years ago, she had DUI a year before, and a year after she had another one. But a second time, they put her in jail for one night, so we had to bail her out. And then later on, they advised her. The lawyer advised her to go into the rehab center and stay there, so everything had to get rid of. She had to stay in there, and I don't know how many months, and then later on she got out. She had to stay in the halfway house and all sort of thing. But anyway, I just want to ask you, and later on she went to court, but the other guy didn't show up, so she did not have to go to jail or anything. I just want to ask you, how many years would it take for her record to be clear?
Where does she live, Dow?
She lives in here in San Francisco.
So your daughter lives in San Francisco?
Right.
Okay. Do you have some... Please understand this. On the radio program, we can try to give you some direction of what to do, but not the actual... answer. There's not enough time to do that.
Yes.
But Chris, what comments do you have from now for her daughter?
Well, hopefully your daughter's doing well now. Sounds like she went through a rough patch there. But the criminal record.
She's doing well. She's working for some company, and everything is good right now. But I just want to know how many years it would take for her record to be clear, so what she had to do.
Okay, all right, Dow. Let me get Chris to respond. Turn your radio back up, if you would, so you can take the answer off your radio, Dow. Thank you very much for calling.
So the criminal conviction lives on forever, and so there's no way to erase the criminal conviction, but there are ways to soften the conviction, such as an expungement. So I would recommend that your daughter meet with an attorney, order up, go back to the county, the Hall of Justice where she was convicted, order up all of her records, take them to a criminal law specialist, and see if we can get those expunged or somehow cleaned up a little bit.
You know, Dow, I mentioned a little while ago the website for the Board of Legal Specialization. As Chris said, and he and I discussed, he is a specialist in criminal law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. I think, if I may suggest this, because you said your daughter is working, so she's she has an income. I think it would be very wise for her to call perhaps either the California Board of Legal Specialization at 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100, or go to the board's website at www.calbar.ca.gov. And go to the upper left of your computer screen and look for legal specialists. Click that on, and then for the San Francisco County, it'll give you, and then put in, of course, criminal law. It'll give you the specialists certified specialists in San Francisco for criminal law. I think your daughter needs to really try to invest a little money, and it's going to take, you know, it's not just $25 or $35, but it'll take a little money, and it may well be very worthwhile for her to invest in that, and that's what I highly suggest you do. The other thing is, I just mentioned, of course, the lawyer referral service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, but that is something you can also do. But I think when you've got something, as Chris has described, which takes a great deal of work and experience to, let's say, expunge a record, I really think your daughter needs to contact a certified specialist in criminal law to help her. So good luck to you, to your daughter, and to you. All right, let me see. We've got Peter. Peter, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yes, hi, good evening. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll try to make it quick. I was arrested. I was living in Los Angeles several years ago. I was arrested about a month or so after 9/11 for assault with deadly weapon, and the deadly weapon was a pencil that I used when two people attacked me. I'm disabled. I was disabled at the time, and I tried to defend myself using the weapon, so to speak, the pencil.
Yeah.
Now I was arrested. I was put in jail. I spent about 6 days in jail, and a public defender took up my case, and they wanted to settle. And I said, absolutely not. I have a clear record. I'm a law-abiding citizen, and so on and so forth. Anyway, so it turned out that the two people that attacked me had criminal records already, and they were never willing to be present to press charges, even though they did press charges on the paper. Now, my question to you is, the end result was that I was exonerated.
Mm-hmm.
And my question to you is, that would that be considered as a criminal record? And if so, how can I clear it? And whether I would have to disclose it if there's I'm ever faced with a question whether you have a criminal record or not, and what is I'm not quite sure what exoneration means in legal terms. That's my question.
Some comments, Chris, for him.
Sure. Well, Peter, it sounds like your case maybe was dismissed, and so if you ever have an application that says, have you ever been convicted of a crime, you can honestly say no. Now, if you're asked, have you ever been arrested, then your answer is going to be yes, because you were arrested. And so that's the proper way to answer those questions if you are asked them.
Is there something, though, that – have you found this to be a problem for you, Peter?
No, I just wanted to know if it is considered a criminal record, because I didn't quite understand what exoneration means, especially in that time period. I was under a lot of stress, and the public defender didn't want to follow what I asked her to do, and so they switched it to an alternative public defender, which she brought it to the court that I don't want to take the a settlement, I'm not going to accept the charges.
And Peter, let me ask you this. Peter, has this arrest that you were confronted with, has it caused you not to be able to get any employment at some time? Do you know?
I honestly cannot tell mm-hmm. for sure, because I don't know that.
Are you working now?
Part-time.
Are you? Do you think you'd be working full time if you didn't have this arrest record?
No. The reason I'm working part time is because I'm disabled.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So
All right.
I don't know the effect of this record on my ability to get employment or otherwise. I don't know that.
Do you have any comments for him as to what he might do at this point, if anything, Chris?
There's not a whole lot to do. So we talked a little bit about sealing and destroying your arrest record. If you wanted to make that motion, it has to be done within 2 years of your arrest.
And that your arrest was a number of years ago, though, right, Peter?
Right. In 2001.
Yeah.
So you would not be able to bring that motion to seal and destroy your record. It sounds like your case was dismissed at some point. So you were never convicted. So from what you have told me, there's nothing else to do.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Okay, Peter. Thank you very much for calling. I'm very glad that you did. Margo, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Thank
you very much to both of you for having this discussion. It's very important. I will say that I find – so I help individuals when it comes to just different issues that they may have. And oftentimes some of these issues that come up are criminal court cases. And I'm not an attorney. It is something that I am studying towards. But still, nonetheless, I do what I can to try to help others. And one of the questions I get asked quite often has to do with, and I heard you answer when it comes to the president and criminal records, but I'm curious because I also get asked about the governor and the governor, the powers, what type of records that the governor or somebody can write to the governor about, and the process. I find that the process in the courts is very difficult for people to navigate. I also find that in order for someone, as an example, somebody who gets a DUI, and they have several things that they have to do, but at the same time, they're trying to maintain employment through all of it. And the system is very much set up as the punishment itself causes failure because of the record. And so it's sort of a, what is it like? It's like a hamster wheel. How do I go about empowering, especially people who cannot afford to hire an attorney, cannot take the time off necessarily themselves to go through the system, so they end up with some of these things on there for a period of time, with DUIs, with felonies, which I heard you say that those can be reduced to misdemeanors and sometimes infractions, in order to get them expunged, and sometimes when you're dealing with multiple counties.
Well, let me get Chris to respond to you, Margot, but if you turn your radio back up and get the answer from the radio, thank you very much for calling.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Go ahead, Chris.
So, Margot, if you're not going to do it yourself, you have to hire an attorney. So
sure.
Those are the two routes that your friends or your clients are going to have to take. Another really good resource, and I've named several of them, including private attorneys, including public defender offices, including probation offices, sometimes clerical office, but also your local law library can be very, very helpful as far as pointing you or your friends or clients in the right direction. And
I think that's a very good idea. Chris just pointed out to me, for example, and I know you're, Margot, you're in Milpitas, which is Alameda County, but for example, the Sacramento County Public Law Library and Civil Self-Help Center has a paper on expunging criminal records, and I'm sure it's not the only county law library that does it. Let me also mention something else. You might want to contact a lawyer referral for Alameda County, for example, to see if you might have if they might have some suggestions for people that you're concerned about. The Alameda County Bar Association number is 510-302-2222, 510-302-2222. In this same regard, I want to let people in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area, know that the San Mateo County Law Library has a consumer law clinic. I can't say that it can answer every kind of question that a consumer might have, but it has this every Monday at 10 a.m. where you can attend a Know Your Rights workshop and get free information from an attorney before you go to court. This is in conjunction with Bay Area Legal Aid, and this is on Mondays, every Monday at 10 a.m. at the San Mateo County Law Library, 710 Hamilton Street in Redwood City. That's across the street from the courthouse. And if you're interested, you can make a reservation. Here's a number you might want to jot down for the Consumer Law Clinic, 650-358-0745, 650-358-0745 for the San Mateo County Law Library Consumer Law Clinic. Any other comment for Margot, or was that about it?
I think that's about
okay.
it. But
right.
But you can also find free information on the internet if you just use keywords like expungement, San Francisco County. A lot of websites will come up. The public defender's website will come up. Private attorneys, and there's just a ton of free information on the web.
Yeah, there are many things that a consumer can do if the consumer gets enough information to realize they exist. So Hang in there, everybody, in case this is something that you are confronted with. Mike, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Are you asking for Mike in San Francisco?
I am asking for Mike in San Francisco, yes.
Thank you, Chuck.
Hi, Mike.
A great show.
Thank you.
First, you've answered already one of my questions. I live in the city, but what I'm asking you about is going to be Alameda County, so I assume that referral number is the one I'm going to want if I go to an attorney.
Do you want to give us a question, Mike, or what?
Yes, I'll go straight to it.
Go ahead.
Two of them.
Yeah.
I was arrested not quite 2 years ago for assault, and I felt like the police never did respond to me. I think I was arrested falsely.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I came to court, I wasn't on the docket, and the DA said we dropped it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Right. First question was that they said, I didn't get straight answers from anybody, that it was dropped with prejudice or something, so that it stayed on some kind of record for at least 3, someone said 5 years. So I'd like to find out about that somewhere. It's like a thing hanging over my head.
And this is Mike, you said this occurred somewhere not quite 2 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, in a couple of weeks it'll be 2 years.
Okay. All right. And that was in San Francisco where you were arrested for assault?
No, Oakland.
Oakland, yeah. Well, let me give you, by the way, also the lawyer referral service for Alameda County Bar. You might want to jot that down. 510-302-2222. Chris, what comments do you have for Mike?
Well, Mike, there's a statute of limitations of 1 year for misdemeanors and 3 years for felonies. So the local prosecutors have that much time to charge you. And so they're still, depending on the seriousness of the case, you still may be within that three-year window. Saying that, if they haven't charged you and it's been 2 years, there's a likelihood that they're not going to charge you because mm-hmm. prosecutors like to hop on cases, and Chuck knows this, he was a deputy DA, early on so they can get witnesses lined up and they don't lose evidence. So from the facts as you have told me, probably you're going to be in the clear.
So you're saying that he really, at this point, he really need not worry so much about this? Or?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Do you
the
think...
The second question concerned a claim on the police department for false arrest.
Oh.
Personally, I believe it to have been, but attorneys who didn't explain themselves to me very well said that I might not have a case. How would I go about finding an attorney who could clear that up for me, whether I had a claim or not for that?
Well, you have to find an attorney that specializes in police brutality cases, and you can search the internet for those type of cases. An attorney's only going to be interested in taking on a case like that. First of all, they're very difficult to win. Second of all, there has to be some damages. So if you ended up in the hospital for 2 months and had some significant injuries, an attorney may be more interested in your case, but if you didn't suffer any injuries or didn't lose your job or lose your house and there's no real damages there, it's going to be very difficult to get an attorney to take your case.
Would I likely, would it make sense to call the referral for the county bar, though?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you should do that, Mike. I think you should do that. Should he call and ask to have an appointment with a criminal lawyer
a civil attorney that handles police brutality cases.
Okay, civil attorney. Great. Who handles police brutality cases, Mike, and I'm sure that the Alameda County Bar Association lawyer referral will refer you to someone. If you cannot find through the Alameda County Bar Association someone, then I would suggest certainly you call the San Francisco Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. Did you get that number?
No, I did not.
Let me give it to you, because I'm sure it would have a referral for you. 415-989-1616. 415-989-1616. So good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
sir.
Nice to talk to you, Mike. Okay, we have, I think, enough time for Mary. Mary, make this really good, dear. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi. My question is really in relation to the last guy and then the two guys before. You haven't really talked about designating an arrest as a detention, which I thought would be a good option for people who wanted to clear their record if they were never charged.
Hmm.
So the definition, Mary, that's a good question. The definition of an official arrest is if you're detained by the police and then the prosecutor files charges. So if you are arrested and detained by the police and put in jail, but then the district attorney declines to prosecute you, then it is officially just a detention. And
well, I'm not sure if it's officially. I think on your DOJ, if you don't actually get a certificate designating your arrest to a detention, it'll still show up as an arrest. Whereas if you did try to get that certificate either from the police department or the jail or even through the courts, then it wouldn't show up like that.
You bring up a really good point, and this goes when we're talking about expungements and reductions to misdemeanors.
Right. And it's also you can, you can,
Mary, stop. Mary, stop talking, if you would. I want to get Chris to respond to you.
Got it.
So you can file an official petition in the county where you're arrested to designate the arrest as a detention. But you bring up a good point, because once you get that official petition that's stamped and signed by a judge, it's going to be up to you to send it to the Department of Justice and also to send it to the local police department. So when we get an expungement signed or 17B motion that's reduced to a felony reduced to a misdemeanor, we make sure that we send a filed stamped copy to the Department of Justice in Sacramento and also send it to the local police department, like the San Francisco Police Department, so it gets entered into the database.
Does that make sense, Mary?
Well, no, I understand that, and you could do that, of course, with the detention certificate as well, because people who want to do global entry might sometimes have a problem if an arrest shows on their record.
That's true.
Okay. Well, we're gonna move on. Thank you, Mary, very much for calling.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your time.
By the way, everybody, I want to make sure that I wish you all, we still have a few minutes of the program, a Happy New Year, and that 2017 is going to be good for all of us as well as the country. So I wish you Happy New Year. Here's another one, and it's a question that was brought into the studio. Are there many people who do not know they were named in a criminal complaint nor actually arrested? What recourse does such a person have upon learning of his, her record, in particular after a job interview? This sounds like, supposedly they were named in a criminal complaint, but they never even knew about it. Have you had any experience with something like that?
Well, not really. So, Chuck, as a former prosecutor, that if you're indicted or charged by a local prosecutor's office, the police will go pick you up and arrest you and bring you to court answer the charges.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And so it's pretty unlikely that there is something like this.
And if you are on a complaint or indictment and you find out about it but nobody's arrested you, there's probably a warrant for your arrest somehow, so you should probably hire a criminal attorney to get that cleaned up.
Yeah, I think you should if that's the case. All right, this will be the last call. Bill, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hi. Yes. Is it true that if you have a felony or misdemeanor older than 7 years that cannot be reported to a potential employer?
No, I don't. Chuck's going to have a program coming up on employment law, and that may be a better question for that person. But criminal records live on forever.
Yeah.
And so if you have been arrested or convicted, those will follow you forever. They're available for anybody to see.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
So what you have to do, if that's the case, actually, Bill, is probably make at least initially a small investment and meet with a criminal defense attorney, would you say?
Yes, to see if there's anything that can be done.
And find out if there is anything that can be done. And if there is, if you feel good about this attorney who you visit with for the half hour, then maybe you want to invest more money in seeing what the next step is. It may make a difference in one's life to want to do something like that. So good luck to you, Bill. Parting costs, parting thoughts here, Chris, because we have just nearly run out of time. What parting thoughts do you have for everyone?
Well, we didn't talk about pardons from the governor, but those are also available, certificates of rehabilitation. So there are many vehicles and motions and petitions that a criminal lawyer
can use.
How common
does that happen, getting a pardon from the governor?
Well, it depends on the governor. We have a governor right now who is a very forgiving man. He is a former Jesuit seminarian, and he's not running for higher office. So I'm going to say that if you are eligible for a pardon and get a certificate of rehabilitation, this is the right governor to get your petition in front of. And so I think he's going to be very, very generous with pardons his last year or two of in office.
Because Jerry Brown has how much? A couple of years left?
I think he has two more years left.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's something there. All right. And anything else that occurs to you that you'd like to bring up in the remaining essential minute of the program?
I'm just going to reemphasize, if you were convicted of a felony, check to make sure whether it can be reduced to a misdemeanor. There is no reason to go through life as a convicted felon if you can get it reduced.
No. And again, I'm a real believer in people educating themselves. And a great way to start, wherever you may be, whether it's California or you listen to this program in other parts of the country because we are on the NPR satellite, every state has some kind of a lawyer referral service. And probably some kind of a reduced rate for a half an hour consultation. That's a great way to start, to really try to get yourself educated and then find out, what do I do next? So I'm a real advocate of that. There are legal affairs offices, certainly in California. And there's, public defender's offices, et cetera, probably all over the United States. And that might be something that you might want to look into and see if you might make an appointment to meet with someone who is a public defender in your county or in your state, whatever that may be. So it's one thing to be a good consumer, and it's probably to your better self that you be one. Chris, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Chuck. Really appreciate it.
Great to have you back on the program. Christopher Morales is a specialist in criminal law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. His office is in San Francisco. Happy New Year to you, Chris.
Happy New Year to you, Chuck.
Great to have you here. Next time on Your Legal Rights, we'll discuss immigration laws and issues focusing on undocumented persons facing deportation and other immigration law issues. My guest will be immigration law specialist certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And I hope you will join us for that. Your Legal Rights has been funded for this segment by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program on NPR for national distribution. Again, the website for the California Board of Legal Specialization is www.calbar.ca.gov. Go to the upper left-hand corner of your screen and click on Legal Specialist for pamphlets and finding out who the specialists are in your area. For the Board of Legal Specialization, the website is www.nbtalawyers.org. Please join us next time on Your Legal Rights on your public radio station. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope 2017 is good for all of us. I'm Chuck Finney.